One of your 250-plus books that you've written had to do with unsolved mysteries of the sea.
Yes. Yes, it did. Yep.
What happened out there in the sea?
Well, one of the unsolved mysteries of the sea that fascinates me, I'll just check with George, if we got time to run through a quick mystery story.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And then we'll take more calls. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, in July, I'll keep it short. In July of 1909, an almost brand new ship, the Waratah, which had been built and launched in the UK, and she was a wonderful vessel, was on her way back from Australia to England, calling at Durban in South Africa on the way. A man called Claude Sawyer, who was on that ship, had a terrible, horrifying vision. At the porthole of his cabin, he saw a frightening face, and a hand holding a sword and blood dripping from that hand. And he got the idea that this was a premonition that some terrible fate was going to overtake the ship. So he got off at Durban, cancelled the rest of his passage, and came on a much slower ship a few days later. But he sent his wife a telegram saying, "Don't worry if I'm not on the Waratah. I've got this awful premonition. I've come off, and I'm coming on another ship." And the Waratah set sail from Durban for England and was never heard of again. It disappeared as though by magic, as though some huge force had just pulled it down to the bottom of the sea. And I said, this is not an insignificant ship. She came to be known after the Titanic tragedy as the Australian Titanic, or the Titanic on the Australian run. And she'd been launched in September of 1908, and technically she was 16,000 gross tonnage, nearly 500 feet long, 60 feet wide. She had five big steel boilers and two four-cylinder triple expansion reciprocating engines, and 211 passengers and crew went to their deaths when that disappeared in July of 2009. So the mystery of the Waratah and the very strange vision that saved the life of Claude Sawyer.
Super. Let's go next to Janet in Buckner, Missouri. There you go, Janet. You're on with Lionel.
Hi, George.
Hello, Janet.
You're the sweetest voice in the radio, and Lionel, you're my favorite guest.
I am very, very honored. Thank you for those lovely remarks.
My request, Lionel, is I love it when you talk about Spring Hill Jack.
Tell
that story again.
I'll tell it very briefly because I know George has some more phone calls lined up for me, but it is one of my favorites as well. Nobody knows who or what he was, but during the 19th century, the whole of the Victorian period and a little after, there was this mysterious character who particularly attacked women. He did attack some men as well. He even attacked a sentry in a sentry box at the big military establishment at Aldershot. And in the case of the sentry, brave soldier stood his ground, loaded rifle, and he called out the traditional, "Halt, who goes there?"
Mm-hmm.
And Jack just kept coming. And he said, "Halt or I'll fire." And he fired. And he was a good, well-trained soldier and a good shot. And he was absolutely certain when he made his report that he had hit Jack at point-blank range. Jack's only response was a demonic laugh and leaping over the sentry box, which must have been a good 8 feet high. He just disappeared across the Aldershot plain. And on other occasions, when was at his particular penchant was for attacking young women. And in the days when he was around, most households had one or two maids and a cook and maybe a housekeeper. And one of his cruelest tricks, he tapped on a door and pretended to be a policeman and said to the young maid who answered the door, "Bring a candle and come quickly. We've caught Spring-Heeled Jack." And, of course, innocent girl with the light, "Oh, they've caught Spring-Heeled Jack. I'll bring a candle." The second she got the door open and got outside, she realized that the thing on the doorstep was Spring-Heeled Jack. Fortunately, there were other girls in the house who were very fond of her and were very brave, and they were having a tug of war between her and Spring Heel Jack, and they pulled their friend back inside, slammed the door. One of them ran upstairs and screamed out of the window for help, and the police came running. Jack gave another of his demonic laughs and bounded away over the wall. So there are two Spring Heel Jack anecdotes for you. But who he was, one of the theories was that he was the Mad Marquis of Waterford, who during his days at college had been an outstanding field athlete and a boxer. But he was socially so irresponsible that it's the kind of thing that he would have done. On one occasion, Jack's tunic seemed to be opened at the front, and there was a coat of arms visible on the garment underneath, which, as the witness described it, was later identified as the Waterford coat of arms. But Jack went on appearing and doing his strange things long after the Marquis of Waterford was dead. So either it was someone impersonating Waterford, but Jack's athletic feats were so exceptional that even if he'd been of Olympic standard as a normal human being, he couldn't have done it.